This is Wine, Women, and Revolution with your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio.
Hello, and welcome to New Jersey Revolution Radio. This is Wine, Women, and Revolution, and I'm your host, Heather Warburton here. I have a special guest today. I'm actually not in my studio. I'm sitting around her kitchen table. My guest today is Randy Alston. And this is kind of a breaking story of something that's gone on in the Ventnor Elementary School system. And I wanted to bring Randy on so she could tell us a little bit about what's been going on with her. Thank you for coming on my show.
No problem. Thank you.
So it started on, what was it, March 16th. Can you tell me what happened on March 16th in Ventnor Elementary School, right?
Yes. Well, I guess March 16th is when my daughter was in class, and she was in history, and her teacher was teaching on slavery and things of that nature, I guess. And she basically said that slavery had positive aspects to it. She, you know, was given good reasons through the reason for slavery. So anyway, it started when my daughter came home and she said, "Well, Mom, is it true that slaves wanted to be slaves?" And, you know, of course, I'm like, "What? Who said that? Who, where'd you hear that?" So that's when she started explaining to me, and I automatically, you know, got on the ball about explaining to her that that's just not true. And she explained to me, you know, my teacher said there was good reason for slavery. She had three good reasons. So I'm like, she had good reasons. What's the good reasons? And she names them. She says, "Well, how are we going to have anybody to need someone to harvest their crops? Not all slave owners were bad slave owners. Most were really good. And some slaves wanted to be slaves."
And this is being taught in a public school system.
Fourth grade class.
Your daughter's 10?
Yeah, she just turned 10.
They were telling 10-year-olds that slaves wanted to be slaves.
Yes.
And that we needed people to harvest crops and make money for people that were exploiting, needed to make money, essentially.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, your response when you heard this was?
Honestly, I recorded her. Well, I went on the Ventnor Elementary website and, you know, I kind of posted it to my own page and I just recorded her telling us.
Your Facebook page.
Yeah, my Facebook page, sorry. And in her own words, you know, and I didn't even, you know, have to say anything. I'm just asking her questions and I'm like, "No, just repeat everything that you just told me," you know. So I posted it to the Ventnor community forum and I wasn't upset. I mean, of course I was upset, but I mean, I wasn't like, you know, lashing out. I just basically said, "This cannot be okay." So there was some support, you know, that people were saying that is not cool, you know. And then the police chief of Ventnor got on my post, and she's also the vice president of the Board of Education. And he basically tells me to be quiet. Be quiet, let us handle it. You should never even basically put it out there. So then someone says, "Yeah, I agree," whatever, you know, we need to get this removed. So he was like, "Oh, don't worry, I'm working on it. I'm trying to reach out to the administrator of this group that had this removed now." Maybe 10, 15 minutes later, my post is removed and I picked up the group.
So for being courageous enough to bring out, you know, being the mother of the only African-American child in the class,
yes,
right? To being courageous enough to bring this out to attention that this is hurting your kid, they
right.
locked you and kicked you out of the group.
Exactly.
Yep.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I'm holding in lots of curse words right now because there's children in the building here.
How was it?
But, you know, if the audience could see me right now, there would be
Yeah.
So, I mean, was the police chief trying to intimidate you? Like,
I mean, I don't know, honestly, what it would seem that way, but I don't know. I really feel like he was just trying to cover it up or, like, automatically, you know, from the rip. I don't know if it was really intimidation. I kind of feel like it may have been. It was definitely censorship. So just him trying to cover up, him being a part of the board, there was never any fair reaction at all from the beginning. You know, it just kind of was like, "Well, we didn't hear both sides of the story." And I'm like, "Well, there isn't two sides to a story. You know, either she said it or she didn't. You know, like there's
right. What side is there? There is no good reason for slavery.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and I felt as though that should have been the reaction.
Right.
But it wasn't.
Yeah, so, but he kind of said, okay, well, let's investigate, let us do our job, we're, you know, going through the process, kind of.
He did tell me, he said, you know, the board has been notified, you know, at which I also called and left messages and, you know, emails or whatever to the principal and things of that nature, but he also said, oh, well, the board has been notified, you know, we'll handle it. So I'm like, okay, a couple days go by, you know, the kids were out of school because of bad weather for like a day or two, and still hadn't heard anything back when, you know, through my email. So the principal ends up calling me and saying, hey, can you and Yanni come and sit down and, you know, let's talk? I'm like, sure. Now I'm getting hope. So I'm like, right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, something's being done. Yeah.
Right. Like, because I'm, you know, don't want to have to go any further than this. I mean, yeah, I recorded it and I know they were mad about that, but. You know, why were you upset about it? You know what I mean?
Right. You know, why, if the truth is upsetting, but you're not being upset for the right reasons. You're not like, oh my God, how did this happen? But
right,
why
exactly.
Did you record this?
That's exactly what I was saying. Well, what parent would ever put their child on social media? And I'm like, seriously? They're shooting on social media every day for when you were, you know.
So what happened when you went in for this meeting?
Okay, so I went for the meeting, and instead of the principal being there, well, she was there, but instead of, it wasn't for her to come sit down and talk to us. It was their attorney there. And the attorney basically told me, she's not going to talk to you. Any questions you have from this point on, you can refer to my firm. So, I mean, that was towards the end. In the beginning, you know, I went along with it because I have nothing to hide. I want to get this straightened out. I'm thinking, she said she was the attorney for the board. I'm thinking, okay, they're really going to take this seriously. All right, let's go.
Thinking this is going to be on your side, like it's an attorney investigating your claims, but really it was the attorney to protect the board.
Right, basically. Yeah, that's what it was. So they sit me down, and the first thing they're asking, how is your daughter's relationship? Are you guys close? Has she ever had any problems like this in the past in school? Has she ever gotten in any trouble? Like, they're asking me all these questions about us. What's her favorite subject? You know what her favorite subject is? Like, they're, like, kind of attacking me, like
saying that you're a bad mother, in essence.
Yeah,
but...
or she's a bad kid, you know? And so, I'm like, she's an awesome kid. You're barking at the wrong tree. She's an honor roll student. She's never been in trouble. You know, just kind of going to bat for her. So, at this point, I really want to leave, but I'm like, you know, let's just... go on with it. So then they asked me honest questions, you know, and just I didn't really, you know, of course didn't say, well, are you a bad kid or anything like that, but they're asking her all these other questions that have nothing to do with what we're there for. And they finally get around to asking her questions, but to me it was almost like they were kind of trying to get her to change what she was saying. Like, but where were you when the teacher said this? Are you sure she said it like that, or, you know?
Almost like they were doing a deposition from your kid, but you didn't have a lawyer there.
Exactly. So I expressed, I said, hey, okay, so after the meeting, I'm like, all right, so me and the principal want to sit down. No. She's just here to be here. She's not going to talk to you anything you have to say. You can say to my firm, she's not going to answer any questions. They're basically not allowed to talk to you at all. And at this point, I expressed that, I'm bothered because I was brought here under false pretenses.
Bothered is putting it the
you
one
know,
way
or what I think any reasonable person would be in this situation.
Right.
Bothered is and so the attorney, which is no longer at the firm, mind you, it was an African American female attorney that's around my age. So when I saw, I'm like, really? Okay, fine. But she's no longer at the firm. I don't know why, but I tried to call her because okay, he said I'm not allowed to contact her. You know, but she fully took responsibility, but she was like, oh, well, my firm was kind of pushy, so maybe it was us. I don't want you to blame the principal. Yeah, but the principal knew when she called me that I was coming in for this meeting with her attorney, and she told me that it was to help my daughter. So I called her. She's no longer at the firm. At first, I'm just not getting an answer back at all. So I continue calling, and now they're saying, oh, there's somebody new that's going to handle this case. No one ever called me back. The way I found out that the board had ruled in the teacher's favor is through the newspaper.
Right. So basically what we're talking about now is just a few days ago, the Board of Ed finished, I guess, their investigation or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And the president of the board put out this statement that there was no basis for any disciplinary action against the teacher.
Yeah.
The lesson was done within the parameters of the lesson plan and the state guidelines.
Yes.
So basically they said nothing. Yeah. Either nothing was wrong with what was said or that they just didn't believe you, one of the two. Like,
basically.
One of those two things. Either they're okay with teaching their positive aspects.
Or they didn't believe a 10-year-old girl that has no reason
to lie about something like that.
So. But either way, as far as Board of Ed, it's closed.
They're
you know,
done.
They are not doing anything about
anything.
So, what would you like to see happen out of this? What would be a goal that, you know, you'd like to see?
One,
I mean, I feel as though they owe Liani and myself an apology, but they definitely owe my daughter an apology for the way they treated her and made her feel, you know, just basically putting her in that hostile environment at all. You know, she's there to learn, she's a social kid, you know, this has affected her. So they need to apologize. That, it was just wrong altogether. You know, let's be adults about it. And wrong is wrong. And also they need to change, they need to look into that and change that. That curriculum is ridiculous. There should be no reason at all that they should even, it just has to change, you know. There should be no reason for them to say, oh, well, you know, we think, you know, it's okay. I mean, it's within the parameters. Even if it is. If it is, then you need to change it.
Right. If it's within the parameters are wrong.
Right. Right. Any kind of way that it makes the child feel that way, or even if it doesn't, it's still wrong. You know, I mean, because it's bigger than just Liani at this point. There's other children in that school
right.
of all different races, and they don't need to be taught that.
And speaking of the diversity of the school a little bit, you know, there's 438 students in Ventnor Elementary School, but only 19 of them at the time were of African-American descent.
Right.
But now
that's
there's only
17 now.
You've
yeah.
actually decided to start homeschooling your children rather
Absolutely.
Than put them in this environment.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which, I hope you don't mind if I mention that you're also 7 months pregnant at the time.
Yeah, now,
eight months pregnant.
Yeah.
And you're having to homeschool your children
because
of the environment that was created there for your children.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, so what do you, you know, I would you like to see people come and put some more pressure? I mean, I know the Board of Ed is considered the matter closed, but would you like people to start showing up to the Board of Education meetings and being like, we'd like this policy reviewed.
Yeah, I would. Absolutely. I don't know much about how that, you know, that works within their Board of Education, their, you know, their system. But I would like for, if someone does know, you know, exactly what they could do, you know, feel free to reach out to me. I'll even be there, even though my children aren't there, you know, because I'm still a Ventnor resident.
Right.
So I feel as though, you know, just going up there, putting pressure on them, saying, hey, you know, you got to look into this more. You know, what are you teaching our kids? You know, because if not, I feel as though it's just going to continue, obviously, because they don't see anything wrong with it. And then you're going to be, in essence, creating a bunch of children that think this is okay.
What's right. This is really some kind of bizarre indoctrination.
Yeah, they're rationalizing. And that's, you know, that's ridiculous. So I really feel as though, you know, there needs to be more pressure put on them because I'm just one person. And they're just kind of like, oh, you know, whatever, go away. All right, we're done with you. Nothing was done wrong. That's it. You know, but I feel as though, you know, there is power in numbers and the more that go up there, the more that write or the more that attend the meetings, they'll have to look at it, have to seriously look at it and say, we need to fix this.
Right, and I know at every Board of Ed meeting, there's a public comment section at the very least that people could get up there and say something.
Right.
Even if it's not on the official agenda for that night, they have a public comment
right.
where people can get up and, you know, they may get shut down, but if enough people join in and say, this is wrong.
Exactly, then, exactly.
You know, the hope is that maybe they'll reevaluate their position.
At least.
But, you know, apologizing to you would also be, you know, optimal. But really, it kind of just seems like they want to cover the whole thing up.
Which is what I was afraid of, to begin with, to be honest. But, you know, I tried to get both messages, well, maybe, but exactly what they've done. Kind of wiped over it and shut it down. And in your eyes, it's done.
Yeah, that's, I usually am better with words than this, but, you know, it's just, like, kind of what a lot.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to reach out to all my listeners here. You know, I know my audience is primarily white people at this point in time, and I want you to think back to a couple of months ago when everyone was thanking women of color for keeping Roy Moore out of office and, you know, saying, you know, commenting on the wisdom of black women. And now, you know, we have something like this right here in our own community, and a woman of color is being brave enough to come out against a police chief and is not getting the support from us that we should be. So we really need to make sure we're actually supporting, not just trivial support, you know, and,
right.
You know, for people like you that are not getting the attention for the story that should be given to it.
Right, right. So I believe, like, it starts with something, like, you know, things that people think are small, or, oh, it's only, you know, one kid, so it doesn't matter, or, you know what I mean? And I think that's how it grows, with people ignoring it and pushing it to the side or rationalizing something like this. And then it gets bigger, and we all wonder, well, how did we get here?
Right.
Well, we got here because...
It's normalizing.
Yeah, you're normalizing. And that's how we got here. It's unacceptable. It's just ridiculous. You know, that's been my point from the beginning. This is unacceptable. It's not acceptable. You know, there is no two sides to a story.
Right.
There's right and wrong. That's the two sides.
Right. And there's no side of any story saying slavery was a good thing.
Exactly.
That there was anything positive to come out of slavery.
Exactly.
You like, know. It's one of the darkest periods of human history, or at least the history of this country. And
exactly. And I honestly kind of feel like, you know, you don't want to go there. No one wants to go there. But I honestly feel like they're only doing it because she's a little brown girl. I'm a brown mother, you know, so it's like, whatever. You know what I mean? And I'm like, well, we wouldn't feel that way. Holocaust was terrible. If she said that about Holocaust, they would not feel that way. They would be upset if she said there was really pretty good reasons for it.
You right. Know? Yeah. Like, there's not good reasons for atrocity.
There's not. You know, there were people murdered and killed and made to do things that no one wanted that. You know, it may have been people that were afraid to act out if you were being murdered, but there was never anyone that ever
was like,
said,
yay, enslave me.
It's just, I don't even know.
Yeah, the insanity of the whole thing is just astounding.
Really, yeah.
That anyone would even think this was right. And it is. It's little things like this. And then I believe I heard somewhere in Texas, like, somebody was handing out worksheets of a similar, like, having kids list the good reasons for
slavery.
Yeah,
I've been hearing about that, I guess, a few weeks ago or so, but...
Yeah, and that there's books now, like, when we were in school quite some time ago, you were taught about this, like, triangle of, like, trade where, like, rum was taken over here and slaves were brought to this country. And now some textbooks aren't even saying slaves, they're saying workers were brought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is...
It's...
Rewriting history,
basically,
and minimizing it.
Yes,
and, you know, and there are people that don't want to face it because they don't feel good about it. Of course, you shouldn't feel good about it. You know, I mean, it's hard to face the truth. You know,
right.
It's a hard pill to swallow. But that doesn't mean you can just you don't get over something by washing over it.
No,
that's not how you get over it.
And
know?
We're still living under the impact of that. I mean,
exactly.
We can't deny and say, you know, that, oh, it was so long ago, get over it, but
right.
There's still so much systemic racism that, you know, I don't think, I mean, maybe people are waking up a little bit more to it now because, you know, they're seeing the obvious racism from the president, things
right.
Like that, but, you know, it's been there all along, just now we're seeing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But now that we're seeing it, maybe we can do something to change it.
Right.
And I believe there are, you know, some people that are waking up to it. I really do. I mean, there's not... There needs to be more.
Yes,
there
absolutely.
There needs to be more. There definitely does. So things like this You know, you won't have the people saying, oh, it's all right. It's not a problem. You know, no, we need to fix it before it gets worse. Because they're in fourth grade. They're 9 and 10.
Right. These are kids. These are babies.
What happens as they grow up? Like, how much worse? I mean, that's kind of almost the worst, you know, like, how much worse does it get? You're starting them off like this in fourth grade.
And kids aren't born hating.
No, not at all. But things like that is what teaches them, you know, to hate. And thank God my daughter said, you know, she didn't feel, you know, she felt uncomfortable, of course, but there were no kids that kind of made her feel that way, you know? But it's like, if you teach these children that over the years.
Right. Then it starts to sink in.
That's how they start to become hateful.
Yeah, so let's get behind her. If you want to get involved, reach out to us at info@NewJersey or NJ Revolution Radio. You know, we'll post in the show notes the links to when the next school board meeting is if people want to show up and start hassling them. If you want, you know, you can reach out to us. We'll help get you in contact with the right people. And did you have any last words you wanted to say before we close out the show
just
today?
Thank you for, you know, reaching out and getting some light put on the situation.
And thank you so much for the bravery of doing this. Like, I know you're getting some negative reactions from
people.
So it takes a lot of courage to be the lone voice of sanity sometimes.
Yeah. But thank you for reaching out because, you know, I kind of felt at one point like, well, I'm by myself, you know, but it feels good to know that.
And reach out at any other things that are going on, you know, if you want to do a follow-up story, if you just want to get the word out again, you know, you've got my phone number.
Yeah, well, I hope there's a follow-up story. Well, good news.
I hope so, too.
I really do. Yeah.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today for this special edition of Why Women in Revolution. And if you like hearing stories like this, the things that, well, no one's going to like hearing the story, but if you like getting light shed on the kinds of stories that aren't being published in the mainstream media, or you like our interviews with local activists and people trying to make the world better, please go onto our website, NJ Revolution Radio, and click on that donate button. None of us are being paid for this right now, so we're just trying to make it sustainable. And thank you for listening today, guys.